need Viacom, and we don't need CBS, not from the beginning we don't, that we simply use them to advertise to whoever hasn't seen it yet. But I want you to start looking at it through that paradigm. I want you to start looking at how you could be a part of it. I want you to start looking at how you can be a part of it. That we are putting together that black community that you all were talking about. We're piecing it together here. We're connecting it here. We're assembling it here. While everybody else is just out there talking, we're actually getting it done. That's the difference, is that I don't look at things first and say, what's in it for black authority? I look at my people and say, what's in it for us? Because you're not going to get us by just trying to buy me off. That's not going to work. I'm not interested in that. I have no ego to invite or offend. I want everybody here to start looking at it from that lens. And once you do, you can start seeing that, man, we could really be sitting at the genesis of something huge here. And that's exactly the lens that I want you to see it through. How big can we make this thing from right where we are? Let's not talk about 10 years from now. Just from right where we are. From right where we are right now, this could be huge. And that's why I want you to start looking at it through a different lens. So while other people have been talking about it, I want us to start doing it. And it starts with us here tonight. I want you to start looking at the possibilities. Start looking at the possibilities of what we could do and where we could go and how far we could take this. Start looking at that. Phone lines are now open. The number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your personal access code. And this will be your night. If you, especially if you've contributed, like I say, the people who've actually contributed can run the yard now. Everybody who hasn't, not quite so much. But you know what? You can correct that. Hell, $10 can fix that. Just a few can fix that. And let's start talking about what we can do. Because everybody who's sitting back with their excuses and woe is me and what I can't do and I can't do and I can't do. We don't want to hear from can't anymore. We want to hear from can and did. That's what we want to hear from. And this is your opportunity to call on that. And we better have our own alternative media together, because the dominant culture is not playing. The white media is not playing. I put up a story earlier today where CNN on their political ticker, is asking, should Donald Sterling have his team, the Clippers, taken from him after his race comments? That's what CNN is saying. I mean, you can go take a look at it for yourselves, people. It's right there. That's what CNN is saying. CNN is asking whether or not a person in his position should be punished for that. I don't remember them ever asking if Thad Ochocinco should have been sent to jail by some white supremacist, redneck, bigot female judge or smacking his own lawyer on the rear end. Never hear about that. You see, white supremacy always makes sure they can come back and get you, especially after they've lost. They always want to make sure that they've got the ability to do that. And they'll come back later to finish up that unfinished business, ask O.J. Simpson, ask Floyd Mayweather, ask Chad Ochocinco, ask Chris Brown. That's right. We can go down the list here. that we better have our own infrastructure in place where we can communicate to our people and let them know what's going on. We better get that in place. And it better not be about me and I and it's mine. Because if it's about you and yours and what's yours, then get the hell out of here. Because I'm not interested in you and yours. I'm interested in us and ours. That's the only thing I care about. These other people are whipping our asses because they are coming against us as a united conglomerate effort. They never come up against you by themselves. They have got their media apparatus. They've got their political apparatus. They've got educational apparatus. They've got their social apparatuses. They've got all these things sitting in place ready for bear to go to war against you. They've got them all in place, ready for bear, ready to go to war against you. And meanwhile, we've got black folk sitting on the sidelines saying, it's all about me. Negroes have gotten extremely well at doing that. And we are extremely weak because of doing that. They don't even have to come against us with a strong force. The fact that they are organized is what breaks us every time. And what I'm saying tonight is I don't want to complain about these things. I am saying tonight, let's get organized. I'm the only one out there saying it like this, but you know what? When I started up the Black Channel, I was the only one then saying it then, too. I was the only one saying we then also, and look where we are today. So I'm not afraid of being the only one. That's called leadership. All right, I'll take that. I'm not afraid of it, though. And what I'm saying is that it's your turn now. Think about where this could really go. They talk about Young Turks. I want you all to understand something. On any given night, Bill O'Reilly gets around, last time I checked, he gets around 2 million viewers. Last time I checked. On a good night, he may be able to double that. So do you understand what I'm saying to you now? If you can get a million views, if you can sell a million copies, you are up there with the largest corporations that have to scrap and scrape, and they have to spend millions to promote O'Reilly and his ilk. And what I'm saying to you is I see a pathway, I see an avenue whereby which we can challenge them. And we can take this to the next level. And I'm doing something that nobody else out there is doing, has done, or is offering to do. I'm saying, build this. Help to build this at the Black Channel. And we can then take a look at building many others. We can take a look at this as being a primary platform for intelligent black society. And I will go even farther than that. That's right. I will go even farther. This is what I meant before about I'll meet you 50% way, and then I'll take farther. I will meet you 75% of the way. For those of you out there who want to do your own media and don't know how, I want the Black Channel to become a primary educational resource so that I can show you and others how to put together your own media programs. You see, there was some idiot who was asking whether or not I was doing, said that I should, they didn't like Hollywood Horror House because I was putting black men on the spot for what they haven't done. So, of course, one of these weak, effeminate bastard babies on their he was stupid enough to say, what media are you putting out? Now, everybody's known about 7 a.m. for half a decade. I've been putting out clips now for 4 months. And yet, this ignoramus was so determined to live in denial that he went straight to attacking the messenger. He couldn't attack the message. He wanted to attack the messenger. And I was like, hey, dummy, that's already been done. Hell, we're damn near done with this one and about to get started on more things. And what I'm saying, everyone, is let's take it to the next level like this. I am willing and eager, by the way, to show you all how it's done. I want to show you how to calibrate your cameras. I want to show you how to do your digital editing. I want to show you how to do your sound recording. At the very least, I want to give you the knowledge that I do have. I don't have everything, but you know what? For the things that I don't have, there are other people who do. And what I'm saying is that let's use this as a central nexus to draw those all together. Let's use it for that. For everybody who is willing to put skin in the game, I say let's all put some in there. Think about what this could mean for you. And even if you can't think of any way that this could benefit you directly, think about how this could benefit your children, your nieces, your nephews. Think about this as an alternative avenue where we can do something new, where we don't have to sit here and complain about AMC killing off black characters on The Walking Dead. We don't have to complain about that anymore. Because we'll have our own. And it'll look right. And it'll look stout. And it will look like black excellence. That's what I'm saying. I didn't come here to just discuss with you all one film, one project. I'm here to say, let's take a look at the bigger picture. That's what I want to discuss tonight. Let's take a look at that bigger picture. Let's see how far we can really take this. And no more fence riders. I don't want any more fence riders, because we have been cursed with that. We've been cursed with a bunch of people who try to see the things that we do here as some type of demented Pan-African entertainment, and I'm not interested in that. I'm talking about concrete things that we can do to help change things. That's what I'm talking about. Something concrete that we can do. And I'm willing to spearhead that. There goes the eye. You all were looking for that eye. Well, I will present an eye to you. I am willing to help you. And I'm willing to help gather other people if they are willing to help also. Because in our documentary, Umar Johnson says very, very, very eloquently that it's no surprise that we black people are financially backward, because we never had anybody sit us down how to be financially forward. We never had anybody sit us down and instruct us what is the right way, the correct way to do this. We never had that. And that's why we're in the situation that we're in now. Because your parents did not do that. Many of you, your parents went to work for companies. They never actually came back and explained to you how. They never came back and explained to you how you could overthrow their employer. Even if they refused to do it, they never came back to explain to you how you could. That's betrayal. And what I'm saying is I want to go a different way. I want to go a different way. I want to bring us together so we can actually start promoting more platforms, more projects, more things. That's what I want to do here. And I want this place to be the place that spearheads that. I want us to start discussing online media ventures. I want us to start discussing direct sales. I want us to get together with every single willing person who is out there to help us distribute. I want us to discuss how we can use mainstream media to parlay what we're already doing, not as the primary platform for what we're doing. Now, eventually at some point, yeah, it could become that also. But for where we're at right now, I want to start looking at that also. I want us to start looking at the possibility of opening up all these avenues. I want us to start looking at this as a prospect for opening up every single thing that's out there. You know how, I mean, I've spent years talking to you all about this, so it's time to get started. It's time. I'm not a person who's interested in entertainment, but I will take a moment to demonstrate something here. Now, there are callers on the line. Unfortunately, they're not callers who I think are looking to say anything. I know that the broadcast has been very intimidating for the past few days because everybody is scared to death that they call in. They are going to be asked, what have you done? That's what everybody is afraid of. They're afraid of being asked, what have you done? That's why everybody is hanging on the outside and saying, I don't know. But I'm here to tell you that if we were having a shareholders meeting of Verizon or AT&T or GM or GE, you would not be allowed to sit in on the shareholders meeting if you are not a person who has actually put money into the venture. You're not allowed to sit there. So let's see who's serious. Call from 215. You're live with the Black Channel.
Hi, Jason. It's Devon calling from Philadelphia.
What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to call in and congratulate you on, you know, the recent success of the fundraiser. And,
well, it's not a success yet. Thank you for the congratulations.
Okay, and you know, just to jump straight to the point, I got skin in the game. Are you hearing an echo?
No, I'm not hearing any echo.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, I've been promoting the show. I've been promoting pretty much everything that's been going on. I also do my own projects, too. I'm not sure. Do you have any rules for promoting?
Well, as far as on the broadcast is concerned, I usually have to require somebody to send me something because if I just allow people to start giving out websites and stuff, especially the things I haven't checked out, I don't know what could be happening. Like I say, you may have some dude sit here promising folk the world and go pay him money and don't get anything. And then, or some dude out there telling people, hey, I got a project. Why don't you all send XYZ and it never happens? But you find them all over the world. But what they told people they're going to do never materialized. So in a case like that, I ask that people send me something beforehand. And if I approve of it, then sure, they can mention it on the broadcast.
Okay. Well, I have something.
If you have something you want me to take a look at. If you have something,
yeah, I sent you a while. I'm sure you get a lot of messages, and it just kind of falls within the mix and everything. But yeah, I have something. I'm one of those guys that's been quiet for a couple years, and now, you know, all of a sudden in the springtime, it's just like everything's just been coming together, and I put my work out there for everyone to check out, and it's available, okay. You know, online.
Well, what I want you to do is I want you to send me your information and send me the name and email address that you contributed to 7 a.m.
Okay, no problem.
And definitely, I'll be sure to take a look at that. Just send that to me and just say that you were Vaughn from Philadelphia.
Okay. Another thing, too, that I'd like to put out there, maybe you could think about doing a internet radio that's 24 hours. So, you know, that there's always some information going on, and it's, like, streamed out to different markets through, like, Winamp or iTunes. It just kind of gets the word out there, and it's more 24 hours, and you can, like, repeat things over and over again. That's something I'm working on. I haven't quite gotten there, but I think that's a good idea that some people are doing, like, Pastor Manning. He has a 24-hour broadcast of his church that's going along. It's great. You know, it's not really my thing, but it's good that he has
it. Idiocy doesn't, because idiocy never takes a holiday.
Yeah, I really do, you know, hope everything keeps going well, and, you know, I'll keep doing my part to put the message out there.
Well, definitely, just send me that information, and I'll be sure to take a look into it.
Okay, all right, take care.
Thank you very much for calling in with us here. Let me get a caller from 334. You're on live with Black Channel.
Hello, Black Authority. This is Bill Green from Alabama. Black First.
Black First. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Okay, sounds like you're calling us from the drag strip.
Hello?
Okay, Bill, I'm hearing you just fine, but it sounds like you're not hearing me. Okay, I'm not sure what happened to him. I'll just go ahead and connect you right now. Try to give us a call back, because I can hear you just fine, but for whatever reason, you're not hearing me. Maybe it's over that engine block. Caller 424, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, what's up, my man? Black First. This is your boy, Devin, man. We talked a couple of weeks ago. I think we friended on Facebook as well. You were talking about internet marketing and support of what you're trying to break off.
Okay. Go ahead with your point, brother.
Well, all right. I don't want to throw anything out there. Like you said, I had mentioned on the text of the last broadcast that I'm available to do SEO for you, and I was kind of shut down by one of your moderators who claimed that he's doing SEO, which is fine. There's a lot of people out here doing search engine optimization, but I imagine that would probably be the most difficult.
I don't think that was what happened. I think what happened is if you were trying to put links in the chat room.
Oh, understandable. Just trying to give you a way to find it.
Yeah, you weren't shut down. You weren't shut down. It's like I told the previous caller. If you want to advertise with me, you need to contact me to find out about advertising with me. But as far as coming just posting up links, no, we don't allow that. Mods won't allow that.
Understood. I'm offering free services here because I'm in support of what it is that you're trying to do. I mean, I would imagine in the whole search engine optimization field that affordable search marketing would be one of the more difficult searches that you would rank on the first page of Google for, because you're up against all of the search engine optimizers in the planet. And if you Google affordable search engine optimization without saying my name or without saying my company, you will find me there twice on the first page. So I do talk the talk and I do walk the walk. I know what I'm talking about and I get results. I don't talk about results like a lot of other individuals. I get results. So that being said, I think you already remember me from when we talked a couple of weeks ago. You know, like I said, I'm right here. And if you'd like to popularize what you're doing on the web in an effective manner, then I'm here to do that.
Okay, well, just send me your information. I'll take a look at it.
Devin Lockett, remember? We talked on Facebook a couple weeks ago.
Okay, for some odd reason, because you know you're the second person with that name called in tonight, so Like I say, I have a lot of Devons on my friends list. But now that you said your whole name, now I know who you are. You're the guy with the black and white picture. Please stop talking. You're the guy with the black and white picture.
Black and white picture? No, I don't think my picture's in black and white.
Yeah, you might have changed. I know you are.
A bald head, you know, light skinned brothers. We talked about, I'm from New Orleans, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And, we were talking about different aspects of business and stuff.
Right, I know who you are.
Yeah, okay. But like I said, man, I'm available. I support the cause. I had mentioned before also in the...
You say you support the cause. What does that mean?
What do you mean? No, I mean, like I said before, when I called, I called a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, 2-3 weeks
okay.
ago.
Okay, Devin, this is a problem that I had with you last time. Hold on for just a moment and just listen. I just asked you a question, and just like the last time you called, you're not doing very good at addressing questions to you. You said that I support the cause. I'm trying to understand exactly what you mean by that.
Well, black empowerment and black empowerment for business. I think what I had mentioned in the last time on the chat room is that there used to be the black pages in Dallas. I don't know how many other cities there were, but there used to be a phone directory
okay.
of all the black
businesses. This is what I mean by you're kind of all off on there. How much have you contributed to the 7 a.m. promotion? And I'm getting to be a broken record with people tonight, but when people tell me the word support, I'm going to follow the money, find out where your support is, because lip service is not support. How much you contributed? Because all of my mods, let me say this one more time, all of my mods have contributed, and they've all contributed well over $100. All my mods have. So let me find out from Devin, since Devin says that he supports, let me find out what Devin has actually contributed, or if Devin is referring to one of those non-tangible, unseeable forms of support.
Well, I mean, I don't really know about that. When I went to the 7 a.m. thing, you had set up for $10,000 and you had $18,000, and I did not contribute, honestly, but it wasn't out of being, you know, tight or not wanting to contribute. I just saw that you had reached your goal. It wasn't, I could take out my credit card at any moment. That's not really the issue. If that's the support you're looking for, I understand that.
Yeah, well, like I say, because you come here to do what you did last time and try to plug your services, you're doing what you did before, and you're back here again to do that again. And I've been business practices. And what I'm saying is that the reason that we as black folk don't usually get as much credibility with other people as we could is because we usually come in the front door saying what we can get for ourselves and not really explaining to our prospect what we've done for them. That's the first thing. Now, here's the other thing. You're not stupid, Devin. You know that the way crowdfunding works is not you give until they reach their goal. It is you give until you pass the window through which you can. So you've got 30 days to raise as much as you can. As I've given out the example before to the people about the guy with a 3D printer, his goal was 5,000. He has 3 or 4 days left to go. They've raised $3.1 or $3.2 million. Now, I'm not saying that I should get $3.2 million. That would be very, very nice. What I'm saying is that I have yet to see a single white person say, can we still give? Oh, you reached your goal. I wasn't sure anymore. I mean, I saw you reached your goal, but if you really supported what we were doing, then the fact that we reached that one goal, why did that stop you if the fact reached it was there? If you're saying, well, I support it.
Well, I thought I must have misunderstood what you were saying in the beginning of the broadcast. I thought you were looking for businesses to actually contribute services and to actually contribute that type of support.
Isn't that very interesting, everybody? He heard everything I said. He heard everything. Did you listen to what he just said just now? One thing he did not say. He didn't repeat what I said several times. I said everybody who's invested put money in the game and put skin in the game. And I know this once again for the umpteenth time, you've got a heck of a select hearing problem. You missing the part that says, has anybody contributed? Have you put money in the game? Have you put skin in the game? Have you put yourself in there? Have you put yourself out there? You keep skipping over that. And I'm just kind of wondering how that keeps happening every time you call and then during this phone call. You have gracefully, very adeptly, kind of like a ballet dancer, figure skater, very adeptly evaded around that whole money thing. Is that where you're concerned?
I understand where you're coming from. I just didn't realize that, you know, fundraising for the 7 a.m. project was the only thing that you wanted people to call and talk about. I thought looking for business.
I want to be totally honest with you. It's not that at all. What I'm saying is that the window shoppers need not apply anymore. I would rather have the group of 100 and – oh, I hit the wrong screen over here. I got two screens open right now for everybody, so you'd be aware. I've got one screen that shows my broadcasting. I've got the other screen that shows who contributed. So if somebody tries to BS me and try to bullcrap their way through a phone call and say that I contributed and you really didn't, I've got a list of all my contributors right here, and I'll be damned if I'm going to let somebody who didn't give a damn penny sit in the same area with the people who actually put risk into this. I would be dishonoring them. So what I'm saying is that if I seem like I'm not really concerned about offending you, it's because I'm not. Because the people who are not contributing, I don't give a damn. I really don't. Because this day and age of Negroes sitting together trading sob stories is over. Now, if you gave something, I'm open to hearing everything you have to say. If you didn't give anything, not so much. Because we're grown men and grown women. And yet they're on my phone because I pay for Blog Talk and I pay for this uplink and I pay for this connection. They're a connection that I pay for, telling me why they didn't contribute any money of their own. But they're okay with me spending money on this forum. That's cool. That's fine. You go do that, Jason. And let me call in and give my talk and my words. But when I ask them what did they contribute, all of a sudden they start giving the nigga excuses. Well, you see, what happened was I looked at your goal. Well, you see, what happened was, Black folk are very, very good for, well, you see, what happened was. You know full damn well that thing was sitting up there saying, we got a whole month to go. A month. If you really supported it, why in the world would you not want your name to be on that? Your name wasn't on it because you never were on it. That's
right. And
what
understood.
I'm saying is that I'm offended. Since you don't seem to be making the connections here quickly enough to what I'm telling you, let me just come straight out and say this. I'm offended.
Offended at?
I'm offended at you calling me.
Well, then, now I understand.
You
people who haven't contributed money
you picked up
to
the
your
phone.
Online
you,
campaign are not
over.
Welcome to call. I understand
okay.
that.
Okay, get off my phone now. I am not interested in the people with nonsense and jokes. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in people thinking they're going to find a sideways way to get in on what we're doing. I'm not interested in that. If you have people who want a window shop, I'm no longer interested in you. Let me make this very clear. I would rather have the 170 people who have donated. I would rather have that 170 people and to hell with everybody else. I'm sorry, 270. Okay, just split the 271. I'd rather have that 271 people. I can build with them. I can get things done with them. I would rather have that 271 people than the jackass that just called. I don't want you. I'm not interested in you. You're not welcome here. And everybody else who has decided that I don't even have $5, if you don't have $5, I really don't want you here. You're putting a dollar figure on people being here. No, I'm putting an adult responsibility figure because I had a 15-year-old call me up Friday and then a 16-year-old after that and say what they were going to contribute, and yet you think I'm going to accept excuses from grown men and grown women? No, I'm not accepting that. It's time to thin the herd. You don't have to like it, but it's time to thin you, because we're not going to get anywhere with a bunch of Negroes sitting on the bench taking up time, because black folk are used to living on other people's dime. They're used to living on other people's contributions. This is why we're sitting up here crowd damn Section 8 office and the Social Security office. And Jason was absolutely right. Brother Jason was absolutely right in what he said. You can go to any Social Security office in America. We are 13% of the population, but we will be the majority of the people sitting in the Social Security office with our lips poked out, giving excuses, begging for a handout. That old nigga thought. And I'm not with it. And I'm not interested. So if I don't care that I have thousands of people listening, I will take the 271, the select and elect and elite few. I will take you, and we will change the world. Everybody else, hit the damn bricks. And I mean that just the way I said that, because you've never heard anybody talk like I just did right now. Well, I mean it just the way I said it. I will take the 271 people who have contributed, and we will rebuild this thing. Everybody else, get the hell out, because you're not going to take us anywhere. We'll be sitting here 20 years from now, just like your damn daddy and your mammy did you, with your lip poked out giving excuses about why you didn't do this and didn't do that. And when a Negro comes up to me with pathetic and pitiful and excuses, that crap he just did, I don't want you here. I don't want you around at all. TBA is tossing people out. I thought you were about black unity. Let me tell you, and I'm slowing it down here for a moment because Johnny put this in the chat room because he loves it when I say this. And since he has put skin in the game, I have no problem with reiterating it and making sure it catches up. Listen to me one time if you want to talk about black unity. You are in the wrong place. If you think you're going to get by with that con job and that trick talk and that jive talk of black unity, that you sit here and take up time on the bench squawking about black unity. The black channel is not interested in black unity. I don't give a damn about black unity. I live, eat, sleep, drink, breathe, feel, and everything I am is about black empowerment. I don't give a damn about black unity. I'm not interested in unity with my people. I am interested in empowerment with my people. Damn unity. People being together and being broke. That's your definition of unity. If unity means poverty, to hell with you and unity. Because in my world, unity is spelled power. Unity is a five-letter word, but it's P-O-W-E-R. Caller from 618, we're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, Black Authority, how you doing? It's me, Mark, again. I think I called you on your last show.
Okay, it's not a show, it's a broadcast, brother, with Steve Harper's show.
Yeah, sorry.
What Tom Joyner does is a show. Cirque du Soleil does a show. What's on your mind, brother?
Actually, last time I called you, I said I was looking for a job. I got several interviews. So if I get hired, it might be my first job, and I can probably send in that donation this month. I'm trying to send in $20, but I need to buy like a card so I can send it through the website. So I'm kind of excited because I'm gonna have my first job, so I might be able to send something.
I called about interviews, so I see that we're still waiting on that. So hopefully something comes through for you there. And you can see about getting something going for yourself because at this point in your life, the daylight is burned so low, you can't waste another minute.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm a bit excited, and you know, I can't wait to send something through for you, you know, because I do want to help to send something through. So I'm kind of excited right now. I just want to call and let you know that I'll be sending through through some money if I had a chance. And oh yeah, by the way, I did ask mom for $20. He said, hell no. He told me he knows. So
where's his mother?
Yeah, she's outdoors right now.
She's outdoors right now. Okay. Next time you call me you have her there.
All right. Sure.
Because she needs to talk to me more than you do.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, how old is your mom?
I think she's going to be ready to hit her 40s.
She's getting ready to.
Mm-kay. Yeah.
Why was I so sure you were going to say that? She needs to talk to me.
All right.
And trust me, you need me to talk to her, too.
Yeah. She's the type, she's real wild and feisty, so.
That's quite all right. The cure for black ignorance is black intelligence.
Yeah, that's true. You know, but, you know, she's the type, you know, I do be talking about that stuff a lot. She called me prejudice one time. So I'm going to say that I was prejudiced, but I'm not prejudiced. It's just that, you know, I just catch on to certain stuff that, you know, especially on TV, you pay attention to certain stuff. It's kind of racist to me, but I guess I bring it up too much for her, and I guess that's what you said. So I'm not exactly sure.
The way that you have to deal with a brother is not with words. You have to deal with empowerment. Your mother is fundamentally weak, and that's her problem, is that she's fundamentally weak. She bows to white supremacy. She, and even subconsciously, or consciously in her case, whenever white people show up, she just assumes the position. Back in the slave days, when they assumed the position of their feet together and their arms in front of them with their hands together and their heads down,
mm-hmm.
Your mother assumed the position when white people come into the conversation or even into her mind. Even when they come across her mind, she assumes the position.
Yeah.
That's why you're looking at it and saying, man, this is foul. Yes, because she assumes the position. That's why.
Oh, well, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. You know, I mean, I'll be kind of arguing about it, but I just drop it because, you know, that's my mom. But at the same time,
I don't think you need to waste any more life arguing with her. You get your act together. My reason for wanting to talk to her is different. It's got nothing to do with you. But as far as you are concerned, no, I wouldn't waste another day. You're throwing your pearls before swine. Black empowerment is wasted on her. I wouldn't waste any more of my time doing that. It's wasted on her. Game and break her off. She's a loss.
Yeah.
She's a loss. Now, are you sure you're going to pass the drug test?
Yes, sir. No, I don't smoke it. I don't do none of that. I was tempted a couple of times, but I never did it. Well, actually once, but that was a long time ago, and I didn't like it, so I never did it again.
I see you're still struggling with that, you know, talking like a man thing. I see you're still struggling with it.
Yeah.
Obviously. You did not do the exercises I suggested you do.
Oh, Well, I'm still working on it, you know what I mean? So I'm trying.
Just remember now, you're going to go on a job interview talking like that. And what they're going to say is, the customer service position is not open, but how would you like the janitor's position?
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah, I do have to work on that, Dan.
Like I say, brother, people are going to treat you at the level that you demand of it.
Yeah, that is true.
Even if I had never held a job before, I could put myself inside of your body, and simply by the way that I talk and carry myself, I could fool anybody into believing that I've been an employee for a decade or more. Just by the way you carry yourself. Understand something. A person may take a chance on you at entering the workforce, at entry-level job. But if they have a choice between you and somebody who looks the part, they're going to take somebody who looks it. But like I say, I want you to just dig on that a little bit more. Don't worry about your mom. Put her to the side. And the next time that you call me, I want you to call me and say, I got the job. Not I have an interview, not I filled out an application. The next time I hear your voice, I want it to be, I got the job. Because then we can take it from there, okay?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, excuse me. And there's one more thing that I want to ask you. Because I told you that I had a question for you. It was me and some other friends. We was watching the news about the people from the Caribbean islands. They wanted the reparations. We was going to ask, what's our first step to do to, you know, get that popping off here? Because we was thinking about petitions at the college to see if we can get reparations, like to get signature names. Is that a good idea or is that not a good idea?
Okay, boy, he perked up when you started talking about reparations. Can we get this money coming? No, you're not. You sure did perk up when you started talking about reparations. You sure did. I think everybody heard, boy. All the employer has to do is start talking about reparations to you, and you'll come alive.
Yeah.
As I explained to the previous caller before, reparations, do we deserve them? Of course we do. We are the only people on this earth who deserve reparations at the front of the line. The problem is that every system that we could appeal to for reparations is owned by white supremacy. And they are not at this point in the game going to concede that white supremacy is dead. They're not going to do that. We are, this is the, and I know it seems a little ironic when I say it like this, but the only reparations they are going to give us are the reparations that we take. Let me try to say it again for everybody who missed that. And I know it sounds ironic when I say it, but the only reparations that white people are going to give us are the reparations that we take. That's the only reparations that they're going to give us, and that's the only ones you're going to get. You are going to have to take your reparations. They are not going to give them to you. Why? Because you have no apparatus through which to force them to voluntarily give it up. They own the UN. They own the International Tribunal. They own the hell. They set them all up. They own The Hague. How are you going to put the United States on trial in a courtroom that they paid for? It's a nice ideal, and I love ideals, but where are you going to file this suit? Where? You can win a lawsuit on African soil, and you can win a lawsuit in Caribbean soil, but you will not be able to extract your penalties on African soil, or definitely not Caribbean soil. You have to extract them on American soil. Where is your mechanism to do that? That's the problem.
Yeah.
You don't have any evidence through which you extract, because they're not going to give up willingly. And like when you show up for a court date, did you show up willingly? You can choose willingly, and if you don't, what do? They send the marshals to come get you. If the United States is found guilty in Africa, in the Caribbean, whatever, please tell me the mechanism through which the Caribbeans come to America to extract their reparations and their payment. Tell me. Who gets punished if they don't show up with our reparations?
Nobody.
That's the problem. Now, in the case of Japan, it was different. Japan was buying our debt. The United States depends on them as an ally in that region. So you see, they had a card play. The second biggest economy in the world, they had a card to play. The world's technological leader, they had a card to play. We have no similar card to play. Once again, I'm not saying we're not due reparations. Of course we are. What I'm saying is that I'm talking about what we can get. Once we get power up and influence, we can take as many reparations as we want. Here's the other side of it. We ain't going to get any reparations with until we get power, wealth, influence. So talking about reparations is getting ahead of ourselves. If you're really serious about reparations, then get serious about power, wealth, and influence. Because you're going to have to take anything you get from them, including reparations for what they owe you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for giving the call, brother, and please check back with us once you have that information. Now, I won't hear from that. There's nothing wrong with reparations. I support reparations. Of course I do. I support that. You owe that on the backs and the deaths of mothers and our fathers. But what I'm saying is that we're not going to get reparations by asking. We are going to need a mechanism by which we can demand it. And right now, we don't have any. Right now, we don't have it. When we get it, hey, I'm right there. But right now, we don't have it. Now, I'm all in favor of us getting into position. Yeah, we need to get into position for it. But, I mean, if you don't believe me, go file your lawsuits, go call your congressman. I mean, who are you going to deliver your demand for reparations to? Patrick Duvall? You going to call your governor, Patrick Duvall? You going to call him? You going to go to the black governor and get him to do it? Okay, go call Patrick Duvall. Let me know how it goes. You going to call your black senator, paging Mr. Burris? Okay. You're going to call your black folk in government, Maxine Waters, paging John Conyers. Who are you going to go to? Your black attorney general, the top cop in the nation, Eric Holder, who has been AWOL since George Zimmerman was acquitted. I should ask Mr. Holder, hey, how's that civil rights investigation against George Zimmerman going? Pardon me while I scoff. Who are you going to call? Your black president? You're going to call him? Who are you going to take those demands to? It's very nice to talk about theories. I'm not a person who operates in theories, and I'm not a person who operates on ideals. We're going to get reparations when we get power, wealth, and influence. Let's get power. Until then, you're ahead of yourself. Get that power, wealth, and influence. And then you will be able to take your reparations and you will be able to take your reparations with penalties, with damages. You'll be able to take out your reparations out of their ass with damages. Caller from 412, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Good evening, Brother Jason. This is Larry from Pittsburgh. How are you?
Black First Brother, what's on your mind?
Well, I was just calling to let you know that I did make a donation. And I caught the show when you was going off on whoever was doing shenanigans. But I don't see the problem with people donating towards this whatsoever because, you know, we have money. We always have that secret money as black people. You know, you can always go buy your weed, your liquor, your latest tennis shoes you don't need and whatnot. And I've been following you, I think, for 5 years, I think. Because I remember when I started listening to you, then you went on your hiatus. And I've been watching, and you're legit. What you speak is the truth. So you know, I pitched in what I could for now, and I'm going to round up some more money because we, you got 41 days left or 42, something like that?
So, yeah, I'm probably going to wrap it at the end of the month, but, I mean, that went in accidentally. It was supposed to be 30, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time ever setting up one, and I went in there, and I looked at it and stuff, and I realized it hit the default. Their default is 45, and so I was like,
okay.
Oh, boy. So, but then, of course, one of the rules of these things I was trying to explain to people, I can't change anything on it. I can't change the date. I can't change the time. I can't change even the name of the perks. So, unfortunately, mm-hmm. that kind of went in there. But you've got, like I say, I mean, we have now until the first of the month. And there's no reason why, if we're serious, why we can't roll this thing. Because we can actually start changing things now. If we get serious about doing it, we can actually change things. Does anybody really want their tomorrow to look like their yesterday? We are at the bottom of the damn barrel because black people will pass around videos. And black people pass around. There was a video earlier today, and I was very disappointed because one of my female listeners, she knows who she is. She knows who she is, and I was very disappointed. They're passing around a video of these two white girls fighting, and the other one hit the other one in the head with a shovel. I didn't find anything funny about that kind of thing. I don't find anything funny, and I don't find anything share-worthy about that. Black people are very good for doing that. And what I'm saying is, at what point do we start countering the coonery with some consciousness? At what point do we start countering the idiocy with some intelligence? When does that video get passed around?
Well, that video is not cool. You know, it's not sexy. It's not drama-filled, so, you know, they're not going to do that. You know, one of the things that, you know, that we could do is just turn the buffoonery off. That would make a major statement in itself, just to turn it off. Don't share. Don't even pay it attention. You know.
Let me find out here. How long ago did you contribute?
I do believe it was, what, Saturday? I do believe. Hold up. I think it was Saturday. I do believe. But could I make a comment on to the about the young brother who called and said he doesn't have a job and his mother
sure.
was giving him
issues? Email address that you used to contribute with?
Let me see. I think it was danstatus@gmail.com.
Okay. You had anything to say?
Excuse me?
Yes, you wanted to say something?
Oh, yeah, about the young brother. Who said he doesn't have a job and he just put in applications. There's two things that he can do. One, there's always one industry that's always looking for employment, and that's a kitchen. They always need a dishwasher. Okay, they can never keep dishwashers. I was a chef for 9 years, and trust me, we always went through a dishwasher. So if he's just trying to get in, make some money, he could do that. Also, two, it's springtime in certain parts of the country. I guess. It's still cold. A lot of people right now want, believe it or not, just their yards raked or cut. Okay? He can make money doing that. Just charge people $10 an hour, depending his neighborhood, or he just may have to charge us a flat $10. Okay? It's very simple. You know, this still is America, and you can still make a dollar. And you just have to, instead of looking for a job, you have to create one. It may not be the prettiest thing, but at the end of the day, if no one's giving you no money, you just have to create your own money. And it doesn't matter what no one says. As long as it's honest work, it could take you somewhere. I've done it because I was self-employed at age 9. So if he's still listening, I mean, he, clean. People always need something cleaned. You know, I mean, it's not the sexiest job, and, you know, you're not going to get the big gold chain doing it, and, you know, and the chicks ain't going to dig your swag, but you know what, you can make some moves. Some money is better than no money.
Absolutely. Some money is better than no money. Speaking of no money, I'm looking for your email address. I couldn't find it, and I went all the way back to Friday.
Hold up, sir.
So, some strange reason, you're not going up on our list at all. Would you like me to put you on hold for a little while you see if you can find that?
Actually, I'm looking at it right now.
Really? What day was it?
May 3rd, 2014 time, 2249 EST. If you want me to, I'll send you a screenshot.
It's quite all right. Are you sure you have the right address?
Your email is blackauthority@...
No, your email.
Mine?
Yours, not mine.
Oh, my bad. It's
you said
Larry T. Johnson, LarryTJ21@gmail.com.
Okay, now that's different. Okay, now there you are. I was going to say, because that dance one, you have to understand, I get a notification every... Those of you who don't know how crowdfunding works, if you are the person being contributed to, you get a notification for every single donation that comes in. As you all can imagine, my stuff has been vibrating and pinging and flashing on me for 4 days now. So, and I remember everything that comes through. I don't have a photographic memory. I just got a good one. So I know who my people are, and that's why I was like, Dance? No, I don't know any Dans. I don't know who you are. Larry, I know who Larry is now. Now I know exactly who that is. Now, you notice
I got a bunch of email accounts.
I was able to confirm that. Well, I understand that. Here's my real thing about it, though. I'm trying to make a point to people, because we as black folk, especially black men, have a bad habit of doing two things. Number one, we do not put skin in the game. And number two, we think we can be slick and lie to somebody about the skin in the game we did not put. I don't want anybody sitting up here saying that they donated, and I don't like the word donation either, because you're actually getting something for this. I don't like the word donation unless you're just saying, okay, I give it and I don't care what happens next. I want to fool with somebody who gives money and doesn't care what happens to it, because when I give money, I care what happens. I care a lot, because it's too hard to get to be just thrown it away. I'm not going to let somebody who didn't contribute get the same credit that Larry did, and he did contribute. Because I don't know, you might be washing dishes or doing whatever, and that doesn't even concern me. What I'm saying is that if you bothered to contribute and you bothered to take money that you could have gone off and spent on nigger trinkets, and you felt about this way, that you did actually do something, I'm not going to let anybody sit on the same floor with you. I'm not going to do that. And what I'm saying is, at this point here, brother, I'm sweeping them off. I'm just going to sweep them off the floor. They're getting in the way of people like you. All the people who are content to just watch and do nothing, they are in the way. They're in the way. I want the people who are saying, man, enough of the bull jive. I want to get something done. That's the people I want to find. I want a straight shot directly to them.
Oh, you know what, sir? I mean, I know what you're talking about with these Negroes and the games that they play, but I don't play games like that. You know.
Well, you'd be surprised. I've had a couple of people who have tried that already now, and I'm just making the point to people that if you've donated, if you've contributed, you got nothing to worry about. But at the same time, I want people to understand that we're serious about this, because some people think that I'm chasing large numbers, and I'm not. I'm not interested in getting a whole bunch of people who tune in every day or tune in every week. I could care less about that. I want people who are going to give in and put in every week. That's what I want to find, is the people who are saying, hey, man, let's get something serious started on this, and then they come back and say, here's what I brought to the table. It doesn't have to be a large amount, so long as it's everything you could do and as long as you didn't do nothing. That's the only thing that matters, because I've been through your neck of the woods, brother. A good portion of my documentary takes place in Philadelphia. I know it's not exactly where you are, but Pittsburgh is basically a flip side of Philadelphia. I mean, they're both basically identical when you start taking a look at black people's position. Black folk ain't doing nothing in Pennsylvania. Black folk ain't doing nothing. There is no black stronghold in Pennsylvania. I went through Philadelphia. I went to the Italian market. I went to Chinatown. I went to Germantown. No, there really is Germantown, for those of you out there who know. You know, but for those who are not familiar with Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, there actually is a Germantown. So when you heard Dr. Claude Anderson talk about Greektown, Poletown, Germantown, he meant that these are literal places, literal places. I found Blacktown, too. They call it Broad Street. And you all can go to Google Maps and go see what Broad Street looks like. And it's time for us to step our game up, brother. At this point in my life, I've got no more tolerance for it. At this point in my life, I don't have any more.
Right now, we as a people are, you know, I mean, you've said it. We're close to genocide, very close. So close that the average black person doesn't even know, could conceive of such. And because everybody is squatting up, I'm seeing that. They're squatting up real tight. And we're too busy looking at whatever her name is on a shower pole or whatever. I mean, that's not going to bring you economic empowerment. If anything, it's just going to waste a couple brain cells at best.
Well, that's why I call this intelligent black society. I want people who do not have a brain cell to waste. That's what I want. Everybody else, you may exit the vehicle. And I am as real as a person can be when I say that. So I want to thank you personally for your contribution. I want to thank you personally for putting some skin in the game on this, because you're tired of it. You're tired of the nonsense, you're tired of the stupidity, and you are ready to see something get done. So I want to thank you personally for being one of those people who is tired of the nonsense the way it's been, and I hope you'll help make it to our goal of 50,000 so that, because what I really want to do is understand something, and I just want to tell a brief personal story here. When I got off a plane in Philadelphia, and I'm going down the escalator at Philadelphia Airport, and you're going down the escalator that takes you down to the ground level, and you see this sign above the escalator that says, Mayor Michael Nutter welcomes you to Philadelphia. So you're seeing Michael Nutter right there as you enter the city. For all travelers, I mean, there he is right there. This is the face that is welcoming you to the city of brotherly love, as it is called, not only why, but okay. It's one of the rudest places I've ever been. But okay. And as I went to the hotel and checked in, started packing the things away, getting ready for the interviews, and I turned on the television, and it was the evening news. You have to understand, where I was staying was out there in Plymouth Meeting. Now, for those of you who don't live in Philadelphia, you probably don't know where Plymouth Meeting is, but it's a suburb. I stayed in Plymouth Meeting, so for everyone in Philadelphia, you know where I'm talking about. That's where I was staying. And as I was there, there were no black people, except for the receptionist. Except for the clerk at the front desk, I didn't meet a single black person out there. Not even the only people I saw black were the little old ladies in their Cadillacs out there. That was all. Turned on the television. Turned on the TV. There was a shooting in Allen Heights or something like that. I forget what the name of it is. I want to say it was Allen something is what I want to say.
Probably Allentown.
It may have been. Because I want to say Allentown, but I'm like, it's been so long here. Like, man, I don't want to say anything I'm not sure of. Black male being carted out on a stretcher, shot in the leg and shot in the abdomen. Video of him being carted out on a stretcher into this ambulance. Then they talked about there was a riot with like 100 teenagers or something at this high school. The kids were out on the street. They were talking about some middle of the street melee that had occurred a few days before I got there. A bunch of teenagers. And they talked about another man who had been shot in North Philadelphia. They show this picture, young black male. And I sat there looking at it, and I said, they're the black people. Couldn't see them on the streets. Turned on the news. There they are. Sorry. There we are. That was my introduction to black people outside of Michael Nutter and the girl who worked at the desk. That was my introduction to black Philadelphia. And you better know, I knew I had my hands full with that one. They let me know right then, you got your hands full with this one. You got your work cut out for you. You got your work cut out for you. And what I'm saying is that black people are 50% of the population of Philadelphia. They are the largest ethnic group in Philadelphia. What do we own? What do we? Where's our prosperity in Philadelphia? Where's our prosperity in Pittsburgh? We ain't got none. Ben Roethlisberger is doing better than 99% of the folk in Pittsburgh. Can we just be honest?
That's true.
At what point does it stop? When does it stop? And what I'm saying is it stops here. So that when your kids are getting off that plane, I don't care whose face greets them at the airport, it will not be visions of misery, coonery, and buffoonery that greet them when they turn on the television at that hotel. That's what I'm trying to make sure doesn't happen. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Well, sir, I just want to thank you for all that you've done. You know, you are a show and prove person, you know. So, you know, I wish I could have donated more. I'm not going to give you no damn excuse. But, you know, I'm going to re-up and add what I can, you know. So, thank you.
Well, no, thank you, brother. Thank you. And please check in with us again. It's about changing things, brothers and sisters. It's about the future. And it is about who is going to do what's necessary to make sure that that future gets realized. That's what I'm about now. But for the brothers and sisters who live in Philadelphia, you know what I was just talking about. Now, if you want to talk about Germantown and Chinatown, for those of you who, now that I keep going, to those of you who live in Philadelphia, if there's somebody in my chat room who lives in Philadelphia, I want you to call me on this. If I'm lying about what I'm about to say, I want you to call me on it, and I want you to tell everybody in the chat room, he's wrong. That's not right. Call me on it. When you leave the airport, there are signs on the freeway that tell you the general direction to get to Chinatown. You have to get, once you get out of the airport and stuff, they've got, if you want to know about Chinatown's clout in Philadelphia, they got signs all over the freeways out there telling you which exits to take to get to Chinatown. When you go to downtown Philadelphia, when you come off the Walt Whitman Bridge, they got a big sign right there, a big freeway sign at the, when you come off Walt Whitman Bridge that says Chinatown. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I lived. I've seen all these things for myself. I'm telling you, it's right there. And anybody who lives in Philadelphia, if I'm wrong, just go ahead and let me know. He's making that up, y'all. He's trying to make it sound like they got signs everywhere, and they don't. It's not like that. Go ahead. Somebody call me on it and say, that ain't right. You're telling people wrong. That ain't right. Call me on it. Germantown is the same way. That Germantown exit, that Germantown, they got signs all over the place to say Germantown. signs all over Philadelphia that'll tell you which way to take about to get to Germantown. Greek town, Italian market, they've got signs all over that. Black people have nothing. Nothing. Except by the town you live on. I'm saying it's time to change that. Caller 910, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First, Jason and Stephanie from North Carolina.
Hello, Stephanie. What's on your mind, sister?
Nothing much. Just excited about the Indiegogo campaign. Looking forward to it. I actually was thinking, and I guess just some ideas. I don't know if you were going to make T-shirts or not for the documentary for us to advertise for you, like purchase and advertise, and the purchase goes towards the donation or the documentary marketing.
Yeah, a few people have mentioned that to me, and maybe, you know, maybe I'm just a complete and total square on this kind of thing. I'm like, wow, I've never seen that before. I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah, but we're breaking new ground, right?
Yeah, I'm like, wow, so you're saying I should like do like the Star Wars thing? It's like, yes. I don't remember the Michael Moore Fahrenheit 9/11 shirt, but maybe I just was kind of whizzed by them there. But, you know, if I get enough interest in it, because you're not the first person. When I did the Black First shirt, there was a certain number I had to hit. I'm not going to say what the number is because a tree does not reveal how strong its roots are. So if I get if everybody out there who says, hey, I'd like to, if there was a shirt like that, I'd like one. If you like the idea, let me know. And we'll see about making it happen.
So you want us to do that through email or?
I mean, you know what? Why don't I just go ahead? I'll just put this on Facebook right now then. Let me see. Let's see. All right. I'll go ahead and I've gone ahead and posted that up, and I'll see what people say.
Okay.
I'll see what people say, and if I get enough interest in it, then hell yeah, we'll take a look into it.
Okay, and then you can put like one of your little slogans in it, like look it up or something.
Yeah, cause we all know I'm not enough of a smart ass. Yeah,
I love it.
No, I'm not enough of a smart ass already. I need to give them a shirt that lets them walk around with my smartassery. Yes.
That's right, as a reminder.
Yeah, this guy is honesty in advertising. Hey, let me shoot you with sarcastic zingers. Come to CZM. Wow.
Oh, and another idea I had was maybe like the how you have to pay $3,000 to see you. Maybe you can have like a drawing for the people who donate $1,000, have a drawing to come see you. So at least one person sees you, but if you donate the $3,000, that's an automatic.
You know, the only problem that I had with that, because there was a few people who suggested that to me about, you know, the for people to come see you. It was a few people who suggested that. And to be honest with you, that one was difficult for me because I was saying, first of all, I said, who the hell wants to meet me?
Everybody.
Wow, I'm like, that's going to be a boring trip. You know, because people are going to ask, what do you do? And I'm like, you all don't understand. I am one of the most abysmally boring introvert people you could ever meet in your life. If you got ideas of us skipping through the theme park and all that kind of stuff, that is not what meeting me is going to be like. It's going to be like a lecture from your favorite or least favorite professor. I'm not sure. But that was one of the things that had me a problem with, because I was like, okay, I can let people meet me, but I don't think anybody is going to pay that much to come meet one person just to shake his hand, because let me tell you, it's not going to be a whole lot more going after that. As much as people might wish there were, it's just not going to be a whole lot more going after that. But you know what? I think it's a couple of good ideas. You got some good ideas, Stephanie. I ought to make you in charge of my promotions department.
Okay.
I wish I'd been talking to you when I was coming up.
I'll put myself in charge of your promotions department.
No, then you'll be in charge of the drawing for the... Oh, TBA, look at this. I drew my own name. I'll be like,
imagine that.
As crooked as that Louisiana lottery Powerball thing now. What's going on here? Wait a minute. All the balls say Stephanie. Well, hell. I think I found our culprit. Did you even spin this thing? But you know what? That might be a good idea there, too. Maybe I'll keep that in mind. I might make that, you know, we're drawing for the upper tiers of it and everything. Hey, if they're willing to put skin in the game and we'll say, hey, we're willing to go the extra mile, that's perfectly fine. I have to figure out some way to make it special, though. Because that was the other thing that got me. I just really figured that this would give me enough time to figure out, okay, because I would be pretty ticked off if I pay that much money to meet the most boring guy in the world. So can you at least pretend not to be yourself for a while when you meet these people? So that's why I was saying, if that does occur, I'm going to have to come up with something to do or somewhere to go with people. Simply so they don't...
What sites do you wear them?
What do you mean?
I'm quite sure it's spots to see in Shreveport, right?
Yeah. The only thing is...
Over here is a wall?
No, there's only one problem with a public tour, and
uh-oh,
that's the public.
Oh.
Because you see, for the rest of you, you all like meeting people, okay? I was serious when I told you all, I'm an introverted person. I don't like meeting people. I really don't, which really makes starting the Black Channel look crazy as hell, because it's like, well, all you're going to do is meet people now. And I'm like, yeah, I know. God save me. And that's exactly what it's been like. But meeting people is not my forte. I'm just, for me, everything in life that involves meeting people is like the public bus. Nothing makes you appreciate your car like getting on the bus. I mean, if you want to appreciate the hell out of your car, just go ride the bus for a day. 10 minutes. You go. Just let him go make 5 or 6 stops. And you figure out.
But this is what you have to do. You have to mentally prepare yourself for those situations. That's what I have to do. Like, calling into your broadcast, I have to, like I said on here for.
How do you prepare yourself for the bus, Stephanie?
It's like, okay, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to meet these people, and I'm going to talk to at least one person and just call it a day. So I'll jump on the bus, and I'll look at them and smile and say hi.
So, wait a minute. So you're saying before I get on the bus, my objective should be to talk to someone on the bus?
Or something. Like, you know, like, let me see. Yeah, or talk to, like, you'd be like, okay, I'm going to say hi to somebody. Or either, if you're not in the mood, then don't do it. Just, like, kind of fumble with your phone and stuff, you know, the little awkward situation type thing. You got to know how to do it. I have to teach you some
on
stuff.
There. Yeah, the most awkward thing was me getting on the bus. Yeah, that we started off awkward. I mean, I'm just saying, because it's one of those things where it's... But Stephanie, the problem with getting on the bus to meet people is I gotta.
Well,
get on
not
the bus.
To meet people, but.
Yeah, but the problem is that I gotta get on the bus and meet people. And that's the only hitch in the glitch, right? I mean, it's like, well, you get on, just talk to one person. Yeah, but the problem was I got up this morning happy that I wasn't gonna talk to any people. I was saying to myself, what is the worst thing that could happen to me today? Number one, I could swallow glass. Number two, I could fall off the roof as soon as I walk out the front door. Don't ask me what law of multidimensional physics made that happen, but I'm always worried about that one. Number three, a piano. a piano could fall on me. A grand piano, not a little one. I mean, a huge piano could fall on me. Number four thing that I hope to God doesn't happen today is none of my cars will stop and I have to get on bus. That there's someplace I really got to go and none of my cars will start and I can't wait anybody for a ride and I got to get on the bus. That's the worst thing that I think could happen to me after those first three things. The glass falling off the roof or a piano phone on me. There's just nothing that, I'm just one of those people. I mean, like, standing at the checkout line at Walmart makes me stir crazy. I mean, like, when I go to Family Dollar, I, like, go through the checkout lane. I wish I could go through the checkout lane with tongs or latex gloves, something like that. One of those trash pickers, one of the trash grippers, you know, has got the grip that they pick up litter with. One of those.
Yeah.
Hand her my credit card for this thing, you know. But then I have to figure out how I'm going to sign, so.
Just be glad you don't work in education. Wait.
Liberian son just came with something very honest here. By the way, do you know how many World Star hip-hop videos have come from the bus?
Oh, I guess you got a point. I don't ride buses. Like, the only time I rode a bus is when I was in Savannah for a summer. And so it wasn't like I rode it like a long time or anything, you know?
So you never
had to ride buses like that.
That you don't even do
to
yourself.
I thought you dropped the box here.
Okay, she's going to recommend something to me that she doesn't even do herself.
I've done it before, though.
When's the last time you got a bus? Oh, I never ride the bus. Wow. Okay.
We don't have buses here. I'm in rural. Like, it's some cows in my backfield back here.
I would rather have the cows every day than the bus once a month. That would be like menstrual cramps. I don't care how brave you think you are. Know what tomorrow is? I gotta go to the bus. If you really love me, you would give me a ride. I'll already be at work by the time you get there. Man! But, like I say, I'm not really a social person, and I'm not really good for meeting people, but I will make an attempt in something like this. And like I say, it's something that I threw out there because, to be totally honest with you, I figured if they're willing to do that and to go through all that and pay that much to see me, if they're willing to do that, then hell, I feel like I owe it to them at that point. If somebody actually did contribute that much, I'd be like, man, I owe you a photograph at this point. Hell, I owe you an Instagram.
So you actually need to be thinking about what you're going to do. Because Donnie said he's coming for that spot.
there is nothing that I put on there that I don't plan on doing. There's nothing I put on there, hey, you weren't going to do it, don't. Because understand, that becomes fraudulent at some point. That's why you can't change perks, because your crowdfunding becomes a legal document. There are some folks out there who don't realize that, because they think they can defraud people and get away with it. But your crowdfunding is a legal document. And there's a reason why it doesn't go away for so long, because it's a legal document. Because it's the crowdfunding site's way of making sure they cover themselves legally. Because they can say, hey, he couldn't change it, and here is what he offered people. Here's what he promised people. So if they say they didn't get it, they need to take it up with him. But we've made sure that there is documentation of what he said. That's all we do, is make sure there's documentation. So he can't lie to them, and they can't lie to him. He can't lie and say that they contributed when they didn't, and he can't lie and say that he didn't promise perks that he did. So if somebody crosses that threshold, I will meet them. I won't be happy about it. No, I'm not going to walk up on you like Bob Barker and Steve Harvey with a big ass smile. No. No, I am as advertised. So all I can say is it may be a Saturday and just get your ass ready for 12 hours of black empowerment is all I can tell you, because you wanted to spend some time with me. I didn't tell you it would be a trip to Disneyland. I said you get to meet me. I didn't say it would be very entertaining. But I'll figure out something. I don't know. I'll figure out something.
Definitely. I'm definitely looking forward
to
the ending.
Your comments also.
Yes.
Because you were one of the first people who got on board with that. You were one of the first people who got in line for that. And that's important, you know?
Well, people jump up for foolishness, so got to be the ones that have to be about something or back something that's worth something. Let me say that. So.
Well, like I say, you understand this, and as a black female, and by the way, have the guys been trying to talk to you?
Have who?
The guys.
What guys?
Okay, this is my friend Stephanie on the line, okay? And Stephanie is a wonderful woman who works in education. She is intelligent. She's damn cute, too, as a matter of fact. In a teddy bear kind of way, you know, not that Sports Illustrated kind of way. And I want every guy who's listening right now to go to my Facebook and look her up. It's Stephanie. You'll see her with a glamour shot holding one of her arms behind her head. She recently changed her profile picture. So if you want a female who is intelligent, has a wonderful sense of humor, is not hard on the eyes, she's not built like a bowling ball, and she's got her mind on straight, and she is serious about black empowerment. If you want to know where the intelligent, beautiful black men are, they're right here. So go to my Facebook page and take a look at Stephanie. And remember, Finance Without Finance, because she's contributed at the door, and if you can at least meet her halfway, there's no reason she should even answer.
I would love for you guys to pay the $3,000 or maybe $6,000 so both of us can go see Jason, see what he has
see,
in store for us.
Finance kicking his wall. See? She let you know it's the great. Hey, at least you can say I know what I was getting into. So she started off with
that's
the finance.
That's right.
All
no
ready.
Surprises.
I'll let you have the last word, sister.
All I can say is black first, Jason.
Black first, sister. Thank you again for helping make your mark and make it possible for us to do what we're doing. Caller from 334, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, Mr. Black.
334, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, I had to unmute my phone. I called earlier. My phone had gotten wet when I was in the sauna, so sorry about that. This is Bill calling from Alabama.
Bill calling from Alabama. What's on your mind, brother?
Yeah.
I didn't cut him off, y'all. His phone is doing it again, I guess. Brother, you should have gotten Android. This is what you get grabbing one of them Obama phones. I'm going to tell you people about that. Okay. Bill is T-Mobile customer, I guess. Maybe he'll get it together here shortly. Let's grab a caller from 917. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, TBA.
What's your name? Where you calling from?
This is Andre from New York.
Hello, Andre from New York. What's on your mind, brother?
Well, I called to thank you for all the work you've been doing so far. And I've been trying to share your documentary with everybody. And unfortunately, on Facebook, I haven't really been getting a lot of hits from it. But they sure love the other quotes that I put on Facebook that whenever I put on something from, like, for black empowerment, they, I don't get anything.
Well, here's the thing, brother. Do not worry about how many people respond, okay? This is not about what they do. This is about what you do. We as black people spend too much of our time looking around to see how many people are with us, particularly as black men. That's why we can't lead. Black men can't lead because we're always looking around to see how popular our position is. That's not leadership. Leadership does not look for popularity. Leadership does not look for an entourage. Leadership looks at a goal and what needs to get done. That's what leadership does. It doesn't look to see how many people are following it. It looks to see what needs to get done. So in your case, especially if you haven't really been out there, black men got to put themselves out there in a major way. Do you know, the caller was calling earlier talking about, you know, having a 12-hour thing. Do you know how many black men that I approached about starting their own radio program? I made a video explaining to them how to do it.
Wow.
And do you know that very, very few of them actually did anything? And then wonder why they don't have an effect. Brother, I wasn't a well-known person. I wasn't. Dude, I was not a well-known person. You go take a look at my MySpace. It's still out there somewhere. I was not a well-known person. I was a nobody. But I kept making videos. I put up my website. I kept making videos. And I kept doing my thing. Switched over to YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. And like I said, I just kept at it. But brother, it's been 5 years. It's been 5 years. 5 years of steadily beating this drum. And what I'm saying is you got to pay your dues, man.
That's true.
You got to pay your dues.
It's discouraging because it's my friends, but whenever I share the link with, you know, YouTube or, you know, I know you don't like WorldStar, but I posted a link on WorldStar too. I get positive feedback from them, but I would expect better from my friends. And it made me realize that I need to choose better friends. Because obviously they don't get it. I posted a quote from you that it said, power is not given, it's not even earned, you have to take it, but they love that quote. I would think they want black empowerment as well. I thought they would love to share that, contribute to that, but they don't, not even an inquiry, not even a message that said, hey, how can I post? How can I put in $5? No, none of that. But you know, I still keep it moving. I try to contribute as much as I can, and see who else is out there that can contribute more than I can, and hopefully get more people.
Well, like I say, brother, just keep beating the drum. Now, the next question is, what have you done?
I put in $100 so far.
Okay. And what was your mail address?
NYBXAW20
at
Gmail.
Okay. I know that one. Well, like I say, brother, keep doing what you're doing, okay? And you need to raise your profile. Just like the other caller before who talked real shy and stuff, you kind of do that too. We can't lead if people look at us and say, man, I don't know if I... He does understand something. And I learned this when I was learning selling, which helped me in all my businesses. If you don't sound like you're confident and like you believe what you're saying, the people you're talking to won't hear. If you don't sound like you are excited about what you're talking about, how can you expect other people to?
That's true. That's very true. That's something I should work on, too, because I listened to the last caller, the 21-year-old, and I'm 23 years old, and I need to work on that as well.
Well, I mean, you're at the perfect time to be perfecting that now, but understand something. People will follow you. People will follow you. But nobody's going to follow a leader who doesn't sound like he knows. Nobody's going to follow that guy.
That's true.
And I want people to feel like they can follow you.
What else can I do?
What else do you want to do?
Hopefully make my own documentary or spread the word as much as I can. In fact, I'm supposed to inherit a house in Jamaica, actually, and I wanted to turn that into a shelter, you know, from my father. I'm supposed to have this house, like, in Montego Bay, and I wanted to turn that into a shelter or something to help out the community over there or create a business. And,
do you know what they really need in Jamaica?
Oh, excuse me?
You know what they really need in Jamaica?
No.
Businesses. Hell, just like Haiti, they need roads, too. Because the Chinese ain't playing, brother. The Chinese just dropped $2 billion. I mean, it don't get any bigger than that. Those people are not playing. Not by a long time.
Yeah, when I went over there, it's just mostly Indians and Chinese that own all the businesses over there. Even in the small towns, they're setting up beef jerk shops all over the place, and it's barely Jamaican-owned over there, barely.
Like I say, brother, we have an opportunity here to make some things happen, but that window is closing. That window is closing, and if we don't make this work, if we don't get this together, a place like Jamaica, brother, the Chinese immigrants could follow that place in an afternoon. They could swallow Jamaica. They could swallow every black person there in an afternoon. Not a year. Just an afternoon they could swallow you. If we don't get it together, it's over. It's over. It's over.
So it's a group effort in Jamaica. I can't just do something. Every Jamaican has to think that way in black empowerment, that they don't think black first at all, do they?
I want to tell you right now, just everybody on a personal note, I can't wait to put together the video. I can't wait when everything is tallied. I can't wait to tell you all about the people who contributed to this. I can't wait to let you all know everybody who was in on this. I can't wait to thank them personally, because I've taken a look over this thing, and I can't wait to thank you all personally, and it's important that we go through this meticulous detail so that there's documentation. For everybody who was serious and said, I was there. You know, there's a reason that the founders had a document that they signed that said the Declaration of Independence. There's a reason for that. They had that Declaration of Independence, and they wanted to sign it. Because while other people were talking about what will happen if we lose, they were thinking about their legacy and history when we win. And there were a bunch of them They didn't become president. Alex Hamilton, John Hancock, Ben Franklin. But they wanted to be counted, because they wanted their heirs to know that when you come to this point in history, when my back was against the wall and I had the choice between bowing down and standing up, when everybody was saying, bow, man, you better bow or you're going to die, bow, I said, no, I'm going to stand. Even if it cost me my life, I'm going to stand. And they stood. And that's why they're venerated today, because they stood. And this is going to be, this is so wonderful, because we will not be afflicted by the same evils that plagued Panthers, of individuals claiming that they were a part of it when they weren't. If I don't give you their name and they're not on the list, they did not do it. Plain and simple. And it will be 100% comprehensive. There won't be any, well, maybe he missed my name. No, I didn't. You're not on there because you didn't give anything. Because you said to yourself, well, don't worry. They will take care of it. They will see deliberation. They will see empowerment. I'll just come along later. After they've all made all the risks, I'll come along later, because that's what Negroes do, because that's what cowardice breeds in you. I'll come along later and I'll reap the benefits. It's going to work that way, brother. You're part of a select few. You're part of a select few.
That's right.
And you should hold your head high for that. But let this be a defining moment for you. Let this be your coming out party. Let this be where you say, this is where I change the game. Not just for Black society, but myself.
And it's unfortunate, because I did see a video today, and it was an old white man who was basically telling blacks to get on the back of the bus. And everyone was getting riled up. But I noticed this older black woman began praying and started yelling, Jesus, 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 over and over again. And I realized that's the problem. The older black generation were just praying for white supremacy to go away. They weren't doing anything, and it's up to my generation to fix all that now.
They were hoping and wishing for somebody to come floating down from the clouds, somebody to come on the bus and do for them what they were too cowardly and afraid. Can we just call it for what it is? What they were too cowardly, frightened, and afraid to do on their own. They were praying for anybody to come and do this for me, because I'm too chicken to do it for myself. And then they're surprised when nobody showed up. Nobody showed up and nobody helped. Nobody's floating down from clouds for us. That's not happening. You are assuming the posture and the position of cowardice, because the real reason that they're praying is that they are praying to the white people who are victimizing them. They are praying that those white people stop. That's what they're praying to. And I'm not just saying that's a Jesus metaphor either. I'm saying that they are praying to the white people who are oppressing them, that the white people will simply spontaneously stop doing it. That's what cowardice does to you. That's what cowardice does.
Well, I hope I don't end up like that.
That, you know what, just like your parents, understand something. Courage is a choice. Prosperity is a choice. Love is a choice. Life is a decision. You will make the decision about what you do. But these are all choices. And nobody is going to inflict courage on you. They may try to inflict cowardice, but nobody is going to try to inflict courage into your life. It's not happening. That's not going to occur. That's not going to occur. It's all going to be your choice. Because understand something, brother, if you don't hold your head up now and take a stand, I'm going to make a suggestion to you, don't have children. A hero dies one death. A coward dies 1,000, 1,000,000 for the rest of his life. And you don't want to have to look your children in the eye with that cowardly lie and have to lie to them about things you never did. You don't want to have to be one of those people. You don't want to be one of them. You want to be able to look at your and look them straight in the eye and tell them where you were when the hammer fell. You want to be able to tell them what you were doing when the chips were down, when everybody, when we had fallen to third in America in ethnic population, when the police were gunning black people down all over the place, when the whores were swinging from shower curtains and the slave Negroes were calling themselves thugs. Your kids are going to know, Dad, where were you when things started turning around? And you are going to be able to show them your receipt. So that when they talk about the spook who sat by the door, and when they talk about black empowerment, you will be able to show them, I didn't just watch it. I didn't just witness it. I put skin in the game. I was part of it. That's what you'll be able to say. Not too many are going to be able to say that. You're in with an elite few. Not too many.
And I'm planning on doing more.
Well, you're off to a hell of a good start. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Black first.
Black first, brother. Now, I'm going to do something here now, and may upset some people, but so be it, because it needs to be done. Caller from 682. Wake up.
I was just listening, sir.
Yes, I understand that. That's why I opened up your line.
How you doing?
What's your name?
My name's Cliff from Decatur.
Okay, Cliff from Decatur. And if I took a look at 7 a.m.'s promotion and I were to ask you where you contributed, what would you tell me?
I would tell you, you will see two donations, one from the first day. I was one of the first, I was the 13th one to donate, and then the next day I was ashamed, and I donated again, and I still feel ashamed, and I want to donate some more. You'll find me on the catalyst32@hotmail.com. I was on PayPal, and the name says Kenny35 on the Indiegogo. And I was a guy on Facebook that told you I sent my information to a private message about 7 a.m. to 30 of the people that was on my friends list. And there were colleagues from the military and stuff like that. And you're going to be shocked. I haven't heard from any of them.
No, I'm actually not shocked at all. I'm not a little bit surprised. That doesn't
actually
shock me at all.
I'm sad, to tell you the truth. And only one person responded. And, you know, the only person that got back to me, one person on my list, and I haven't seen this woman in over a year, and she was an escort that I hooked up with a couple of times, and that was the only person that responded. None of the other black colleagues responded at all. It's been like over two and a half days, and I'm just ashamed of knowing these people right now. But I'm going to give them another the rest of the week and see what happens. They could have been busy. It was the weekend, Saturday, I believe. You know, we'll see. I even put my donations on my timeline to let them know, hey, 7 a.m. again. This is your boy, Cliff. I donated not once but twice. Didn't go do this. I'm doing my part, and I'm planning on doing some more. And you guys look at me, and see what I've done, and then reconsider or take a serious look and be part of this thing. And so I haven't looked at my Facebook page since I posted on my timeline, because I don't really do Facebook that often. I don't get online to no social media that often, you know. So I'll take a look at it maybe when I get home tonight, because I'm on the road right now. I'm parked. I'm my car set off, but I'm at a restaurant.
Okay, good. I want you out this word.
Yeah, so I attempted to do the best I could. I talked to my best friend. My best friend never even heard of Hidden Colors. Never even heard of the Tariq Machine. And I sent him the link for 7 a.m. And I talk about this stuff to him all the time. And from one ear out the other, and I couldn't believe it. You know,
I find it extremely easy to believe, because here's the real problem. The real problem is that most black people have been conditioned to think that they can actually make it through life, particularly where the men are concerned. They think that they have the ability to make it through life by giving a sob story, by just bull jiving around, that eventually they'll eventually talk their way out of it, and that eventually people will just, I guess, leave them alone about it, or whatever the case might be. They think that they're able to do that long enough. And what I'm saying is that at some point, the reason that we are in this situation is because we as people do not do enough to make sure that this does not happen. There has never been a separating the wheat from the chaff. There's never been a situation where we did that before. And that is what has led to this constant problem where individuals will sit here. They will literally sit here and they will behave as if somehow they were there. And that's because what they're counting on is that nobody will actually ever call anybody on this. That's what they're telling themselves. I can get away with this and nobody will ever call anybody on this. And that's what they're used to. And what I want to say is that this place is different. I'm not interested in a large number of people. I'm not interested in that at all. I don't want that. I want the people who are serious. I want the people who are serious about getting something done, and I want the people who are serious about making things happen. I don't want anybody who's just hanging around and saying, yeah, you go ahead and just give that. Right now, I'm taking a look at the people who contributed. I'm taking a look at my list. Garveyite put his name on there in great, big, huge letters, by the way. Garveyite put his on there in all caps. You know who that reminds me of? That reminds me of John Hancock. For those of you who do not remember the story of John Hancock with the Declaration of Independence, John Hancock, when all of the framers were signing it, they passed the pen to Hancock. Hancock wrote his name twice as big as everybody else's. Some of them were a little perturbed because they're like, hey, that's kind of stupid. You're putting your name so big on there. How the rest of us going to put all this on like that? And John Hancock said, I'm writing my name so big that the king will be able to see it without his glasses. I want King to know that I'm one of the people who said enough. He was making his own personal declaration within the Declaration of Independence. He was making his own personal statement within that. And that's what I'm challenging everybody to do. I'm challenging everybody to make their own statement within it. Like I say, when I get ready to go down this list, it's going to be great for me, you know. When I go down this list, it's going to be great for me to be able to actually show this and to go down this list and be able to talk about that. Because I want everybody who was actually there to know that this is our moment in history. This is our chance to be framed in history. For everybody who's going to take that, this is our chance. This is our chance. Now, just so you be aware, I did look for yours, and I couldn't find it. Maybe you had a different email address. Say again?
You needed the PayPal address that I used?
Well, I mean, what was the name you gave?
Which name? On Indiegogo, it says Kenny, K-I-N-N-Y, 35. I actually sent you a message because I tried to put something on your timeline. I didn't know that you had your timeline restricted, and I put both of my transactions that I had from PayPal on your timeline. I also put it on my timeline, on my page. It's Clifford Kincaid on Facebook. I'm one of your friends.
Right. The other reason why I'm doing this, because as you all know, I'm going to be doing a video for everybody who contributed, and it'll help me to be able to find who those people were. Because, like I say, I mean, I'm going to put up screenshots for certain people so that folks can see that. Because everybody who was involved, I consider this to be a do-or-die moment. And that's why I'm saying, you know, we need the people on the spot for it. So what I want you to do here, because I don't want you to go without recognition for it, okay? Especially for you, people like you, Ambush, you know, people who gave very, very early on. Stephanie, you know, for people who gave at the very beginning, I want to be able to make sure I recognize those people. I want to be able to recognize those people because it's very easy for somebody to sit up and talk. You know, somebody like David Rhodes, you know. Somebody like that, I want to make sure that those people get recognized.
Right,
and I want you to be one of those people because we spend so much time giving shine and giving recognition to people who are doing the wrong thing. How much time do we spend saying, you know what, let me go find out the people who did the right thing, especially when doing the right thing was not the easy thing. That's what I'm about. How much time do we spend letting those people know that we're with them? How many? And that's important to me because we don't get a lot of recognition for doing the right thing. We just don't. The folk who are goofing off and doing stupid stuff, they get all the recognition. We're going to change that too. And we're going to change that starting right here. Just do me a favor and just send me a message just to let me know that I talked to you tonight. I know I always say that to everybody who calls in, but just send me a message. Let me know that you're the one I talked to tonight. And that way we can make sure that you get recognition that you deserve on that because I want everybody who was involved, but we're going to start a new paradigm on that. People always want to say about doing the positive. Well, this is what's positive, and I want to make sure that everybody is in on that. Everybody.
I'll do that. I'm actually planning on giving more because when I saw the other donations, I actually feel ashamed. Even though I'm on a fixed income, I am going to do more as soon as I can get some more, tweak the budget a little bit more, give some more. And I was the guy talking about the black trucking guys and stuff like that about a month ago, 3 weeks ago. And I'm still working on getting my CDL. Once I do that, I'm definitely going to contribute in, you know, on a continuation basis on whatever we got to do to get the merchants out there and to help our people. So I'm not done yet.
Well, like I say, I mean, I'm going to do everything I can because you can't run a truck company without some fellows who are serious about getting something done. And I'll just do my part to help you weed those people out, too. You know, I mean, if we can help you find some people who are serious, if you had the same idea they did, definitely that'd be something that, you know, I want to get with them on and let them know that, hey, you're serious. The triumph of what we've done here, even though we have quite a ways to go, the triumph of what we've done is that we located a whole lot of people, you know? The triumph is we located a whole lot of people. And we've located people who are serious. People who are serious about getting things done And I want to congregate all the serious black people. Everybody who's looking to be entertained, they keep going. Everybody who's serious, I want to get us all in place. Even if it's one area that we're able to, you know, converse in. If we can get all the serious people to at least know where the serious people's, at least in the same social circles, man, that's going to be great. That's what we're looking for. I'll let you have a last word, brother.
Black first,
brother, thank you very much, and thank you for everything you've done. Caller from 313, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, Black Authority, this is Niggas Vu, from the caller from Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, in your case, I will ask you if you want to speak. There's no need at all for me to ask you what I would have asked you ordinarily, and you already know why. So at this point, I simply need to ask you if you wish to speak or if you want me to just put you back on hold.
Well, I want to just quickly just say one thing. I'm glad that I can contribute, and I'm going to continue to support. And I also want to say to people that are listening that have not contributed, I don't know how you can sleep at night if you are consider yourself to be a thoroughbred, consider yourself to be a proponent of what Black Authority is doing. If you are listening in and you haven't donated, I don't know how you can sit there and consider yourself to be pro-black or a proponent of what he's doing. It's no way that I cannot contribute to what he's doing right now. What he's doing right now is remarkable, and he's on a mission, and we need to support him. If you don't have your own project, if you're not doing anything, then you need to be backing this guy. You need to be backing other people that's like him. It's no way that I can sit here and consider myself to have and be a man of dignity and integrity and not back you with my dollar and not even do more of what I already have. And that's exactly how I feel. I want to salute all the other people who have been contributing. You're in the 200s, and medium is $92 per donation. That's big for each supporter. That's pretty strong. And I only can imagine if we was in the thousands of where you'd be at right now. So let's keep on pushing, moving forward, and I'm just going to be on hold and listen and listening in. Black first.
Well, I want to thank you, Negus, for what you've done as well, because these things are important. It's not enough for us to go into the 21st century with the exact same complaints that we had in the 20th. When I first met you 5 years ago, you were talking about getting your own business. You weren't very sure. You weren't even sure how to do it and whatnot. And just being here helped as far as moving out of that area. And I want to thank you for what you've done to help, because this documentary is going to be a catalyst that will help push that conversation forward for other people. Talk about paying it forward. Now you've done it. Literally.
And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I owe a lot to this platform for business entrepreneurship. It really cultivated me, my mind, into focusing on entrepreneurship. And I have a total business mind in the aspect of looking at everything as a commodity. And I owe a lot of thanks, and I owe a lot of gratitude to this platform, this broadcast, because it was very inspiring. I got a lot of good information. And again, this is like it's almost like a religion to me, because it constantly reinforces what I think, and it constantly reinforces what I need to think. And that is what you need. When you go to church, you hear about Jesus, you hear about Christianity. It's a place for spiritual edification. When you go here, it's about business and about dealing with the real world, and it cultivates your mind. And it puts you in that frame of thinking. And when you put you in that frame of thinking, you produce, you get results. And that's what it's all about, is getting those results that actually matter. And that's why I'm a faithful listener. That's why I've been here for 5 years, because it hasn't stirred me in the wrong direction. It steered me in the right direction. So I salute you. I also want to salute, and I haven't got to talk to this guy, but Professor Truth. I want to thank him, because actually it was his videos that led me for this blessing to you. So I want to thank both of you guys, and your uniform thinking has been tremendous, and I just appreciate everything. I really do.
Well, once again, brother, I thank you for all your help and everything that you've done, and we are going to be able to say something that previous generations have failed to be able to say. We are going to be able to say that we changed the world. Not very many can say that. Well, I'm sorry, that we changed it for better, because they changed it all. They just changed it to a cesspool and a dumpster that nobody wants to live in. We will be able to say that we changed it for the better.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for joining us, your brother. I'll go ahead and put you back over here. No. We're serious. Caller from 718, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello?
Hello, caller from 718.
How you doing?
What's your name?
This is Leon from Queens.
Leon from Queens, welcome back to the Black Channel.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I wasn't expecting to talk to you, but
I know. That's why I have you talking to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I must say it's a pleasure speaking to you.
I hope it's about to be a pleasure for me to speak to you. I certainly hope so.
Right.
Because I decided to take tonight as an opportunity to demonstrate to people this is a place like nothing else on this earth. We are absolutely dead serious in everything that we say and everything that we do here. That is why I brought you all footage of Dr. Anderson, footage of Don Peebles, footage of Brett Pulley, footage of Umar Johnson. And the list goes on. I didn't tell you about what I was going to do or might do. I'm going to show you what we're doing.
Right. Yeah, I must say that I'm glad that somebody, you know, is doing something like this. You're the first person that really have gone deep into the aspect of economic empowerment. Everybody else is talking about, you know, equality. And, you know, the white man is not doing this for us and blah, blah, blah. But I'm starting to see that it's really about economic empowerment. We don't own anything. Even I found out that Sean Combs, he doesn't own his record company. He was given a couple of $1 million to start the record company. It wasn't his money that he used. It was somebody else's money. So... you know, we really have to move in that direction of ownership instead of just being, you know, actors and, you know, basketball play, but being basketball owners. So I've been listening to your program for some time now, and I will continue to listen to it, and I will also start to donate. I haven't donated yet.
Okay, and that was where we were getting around to next.
Okay.
Maybe because you don't actually believe what we say here, perhaps you're not convinced.
No, that's not the reason.
Oh, okay.
There's been other, you know, ventures where...
Go ahead and say it.
Well, there's been other...
You see, what happened was...
Well, there's other scam artists out there, so
Well, I'm not one of the scam artists, so
yeah, I know that, right?
Because here's the thing: if I was running a scam, I would be telling you all that I don't know. I'd be saying something along the lines of, "Well, it's been 8 or 9 months or a year, and I can't show you one shred of footage." Better yet, if you really want to make sure that the person that you're dealing with is not running a scam, ask them to show you footage, what they've done so far, before you've contributed anything. Now, I'll be ready to take that bet all day long. Oh, wait a minute. I've already posted up a bunch of footage of what I've already done. Okay, never mind. But at this point right here, we've already crossed that threshold, so what would be your next issue?
No issues at this point. I see that you are extremely dedicated to this project, and I like a lot of the information I've heard from you and Professor Truth. And I see a momentum going. I've been looking at the numbers, and Saturday you guys were at 18,000 and change. Now it's about 25,000 and change. And the more people, you know, that listen to your program, the more money will come in, and, you know, you'll be able to donate. Well, you'll be able to market the project.
Well, here's the thing right here, okay? Just like with P. Diddy, I mean, hell, he can make an album for $25,000, but he can make a really good one for $250,000.
Mm.
We can enter a few markets, $10,000. We could crack the major markets with $50,000. It wouldn't be, you know, hell, we wouldn't, I mean, it wouldn't be like Avengers where you're just blanketing advertising and all over the place. They spend tens of millions of dollars for promotions like that. But it would be enough that we could actually have a presence in the major markets.
Right.
And imagine being able to turn on your TVs and to see that. Imagine that. Imagine people looking and asking, what does that mean? And you would be able to answer them. Imagine being able to tell them, yeah, I'm a part of that documentary. I'm one of the people who paid so they could advertise in our local market here. And then they start asking you, well, what did you do that for? Why? And then you can go in and start telling them about why black empowerment is the single most important thing that we could be doing right now. I just really want to tell you one more thing. How old are you?
43.
Okay. You are older than I am.
Right.
Are you really going to spend the rest of your life making excuses? Because you're already older than me. And I had a age, 15 years old, call me up Friday to tell me that if all he could give was $10, he wouldn't give it.
Yeah, I heard that kid.
I had a 16-year-old. Now, you are twice their age. And you have more reason because you're just guessing about how hard it is out here. You're actually out here in it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to take a little easier on you than I would on other people because I figure we'll say this, but you know what? You are the second black male who has called in tonight. And when I started telling about what we need to do, the first thing that you said was, well, I saw you reached your goal. Even though you could clearly see, it still tells you that, okay, we got a whole month to go. Instead of you just saying, man, if this is what we could do in one day, if I contribute my strength to the cause, where will we be in a month? Think about how much bigger and higher this could go. Because you've been hearing me the whole time say, hey, we did this. Let's crank this up to stratosphere. Think about how big a hole we could punch in this thing. And instead, you looked at it and said, well, why should I do that? I mean, it looks like he's doing pretty good from where I stand. That's what we do as black people. As black males, that's what we do. And that's why the women don't respect us. Because we look around to see who else can do it for us. Instead of saying, wait a minute, I want to leave my mark. I want to be in on this. It's still open. Let's grab my card. I want a piece of action. I want a piece of this action. I want in on this. I want my name up in there. That was your opportunity to do that, brother, and you didn't do that. I'm hoping that you will take, once you get off this phone, as your chance to redeem yourself. I hope you will.
Absolutely.
Because do you have any children?
No.
think about that for a little while. Why is it that you don't have any?
I haven't found the right young lady to have children.
And why is that? What's wrong with the young ladies you're meeting?
Ratchet. For some reason, I noticed that a lot of African-American females tend to be more attracted to the young man, you know, the guys who are more into the hip-hop, you know.
Right, what you're saying that the females you're meeting are not about anything sensible, not about anything intelligent, and certainly not about anything even remotely resembling empowerment.
Right. It's like when I date them, I have to kind of dumb myself down. I don't tell them that I play the classical piano, you know.
And you're 43. You're 43 years old and have to dumb it down. And what I'm saying is, yeah, how's that feel at 43 having to dumb it down? Because everybody's not talking about empowerment, but everybody is talking about coonery and buffoonery. At what point does it stop? You're hopeful wishing, and if I speed date enough women, that'll change. Brother, you ain't going to change nothing. Get out here, get some skin in the game, put some strength behind this so when they turn on their TVs and see Lil Wayne, we can actually show them some counter-programming, even if it's just for 30 seconds. We can show them that the bar is being raised.
Right.
Because what you're doing right now ain't fixing nothing. At 43, you will be 93 with the same complaints if you don't get out here and help change this. And it starts with projects like this. It starts here because nobody else is doing what we're doing. It starts here with what we're doing.
Right.
I'll leave that up to you whether or not you want to get involved. I will tell you one thing, though. It's probably going to be a lot harder to get through on the phone lines here with the next few weeks. Probably going to be a lot harder.
Right.
I have a feeling that people are going to find it more difficult to call in within the next few weeks. I got a feeling it's going to start happening.
Oh, because of the momentum?
Yeah. Okay. You could say it like that. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, for the people who haven't put any skin in the game, yeah, the momentum is going to be too fast for them to keep up with. I like that.
Sounds like you're starting a revolution, Black
Authority. If you didn't put any skin in the game, yeah, it'll be harder for you to keep up. It'll be harder for you to keep up with the momentum, yeah. And that'll make it harder for you to get through, yeah. I think it'll be something like that.
Yeah, I was saying it sounds like you're starting a revolution.
Oh, I didn't start anything. Marcus Garvey started, hell, Nat Turner started it. I'm just the messenger for the 21st century.
Right.
I'm just the guy who got the torch passed to him for the 21st century. It's been passing now for a couple of hundred years. I didn't start the fire. The revolution didn't start the fire. The fire started the revolution.
Gotcha.
Why don't you join us?
Yeah, I will. And it's only a matter of time before the opposition will start to come.
Opposition's already there. The opposition has been running laps up and down the field. We have not been on the field. I'm trying to marshal a force so we can get out there. The opposition's already out there. And they've been fighting and firing and setting things on fire and torching things all over the place. They've been torching what we have all over the place. Nobody else is talking about doing this. We have a real chance to make this happen. What are we sitting on the sidelines for? I'll let you have the last word.
I wish you the best of luck and Black First.
Black First, and the momentum doesn't leave you behind.
It won't. I can assure you it won't.
Good. I'll look forward to hearing from you with your receipt.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Brothers and sisters, let me make this very plain. I don't care how uncomfortable this makes some of you here. I'm not interested in window shoppers, and I'm not interested in individuals who are as happy as your parents were to watch white supremacy steamroll us and crush us into the dirt. I'm not interested in being with you. I don't want unity with you. Man, you can't sit up here and tell people that if they didn't do this or didn't do that, they shouldn't call in. Watch me. Because you are the people who have held us down. Do you know who the people are who contributed? Do you know who they are? Those people, Nat Turner. Those people, Denmark Beasy. Those people are Toussaint L'Ouverture. Those people are Bookman. These are the people who want to get off the plantation. These are the people who are saying, I got to get out of here. These are the people who said, ready for the revolution. These are the people who've done that. You know who the people are who are just sitting and watching? Those are the house niggas. Those are the ones sitting in the house next to Mr. Charlie. Mr. Charlie! See all the Negroes down there getting together, Mr. Charlie? I don't know, sir. They look like they're going to start some trouble, sir. You ain't going to beat me now, are you? I ain't with them now. I'm not with them down there. They're making trouble, Mr. Charlie. I ain't with them. I ain't with them, no, sir. I ain't with them, Mr. Charlie. Damn child, like his boy, like his little kid. The people who are not contributing, those are the people who are out in the field saying, what you mean be free? You trying to start trouble for Mr. Charlie. You trying to start trouble for all of us. Mr. Charlie treats us good enough. Mr. Charlie feeds us. Mr. Charlie clothes us. Mr. Charlie lets us play for the Clippers. Lets us cut the grass with the Clippers. That's what I meant to say. Mr. Charlie lets us cut the grass with the Clippers. That's what Charlie does. You trying to start trouble. You trying to make Mr. Charlie come down here and come down on us. That's what you trying to do. You trying to make trouble for all of us. And I want to say right now, tonight, that that is exactly what I'm trying to do. I am trying to make problems. I'm trying to start havoc. I am a troublemaker. Because when you are being held hostage and slaves on a plantation, when your humanity is being denied you, when your human dignity is being robbed and stolen from you, you're damn right I'm gonna make trouble for that. And you should too. You should too. You should be lined up and chomping at the bit to make trouble for that. Because I am. I am. I don't know why you're here, but I want troublemakers on my team. I want troublemakers on my squad. I want people who are not happy with the status quo. I want them out here with me. That's what I want. Now, you all that we are serious. I have just posted the clip I told you all was going to be post-air. So for those of you who have contributed, for those of you who are wondering what's going on, it's on YouTube now. It just got posted on Twitter, which means it should be showing up on Jason Black's Facebook. It'll be on Black Authority shortly. The latest clip from the documentary 7 a.m. I think you all are going to like it. And for those of you who have been on the fence, this is your time to get off the fence. Why don't you go to look at it for yourselves? Why don't you go see it for yourselves? And if you wonder what it's all about, if you're wondering what we've been doing this for, if you're wondering what 7 a.m. is all about, this is your opportunity to see it for yourselves. And if you hear in there the words that you've been saying, but nobody else has been saying on a national level, if you hear in there the sentiments that you've known have been true, but people are just refusing to talk about it, this is your chance to get with the horse that's running. We need your help. We want to crack the top markets in the nation to get the word out, to let everybody know what's going on. And you can be a part of history. You can be a part of the moment that the history of African people in the world began to turn around. For the last 500 years, we have been known as the weak people of planet Earth. For 500 years, that's been us. We've been known as the weak. I want you to join us and be a part of the time in history when we overcame our weakness. We left powerlessness behind us. And I want you to become a part of the time when black people, when African people return to power. That's what I want you to become a part of. If you haven't been to our Indiegogo, go to our website, 7ammovie.com, 7ammovie.com, and you'll see the link there in the middle of your screen. Take a look at it. Join us. Be a part of it. Join in. Make your voice heard. And help us change the world. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.